If somebody makes a vow to give the erech of a person to the Beis HaMikdash, that means it is going to give the amount which has been fixed by the Torah, not based on the person's actual market value, but rather based on the category, the age group in which he fits, and his gender. There are 4 different age groups into which the Torah splits people. And also, depending on their gender, that would define the fixed amount that the Torah gives for the erech of each person. Now, that having been said, the Torah also introduces a new concept that if somebody makes a erech vow, but he is not actually able to afford the value which the Torah fixes, then he can go to a kohen who would evaluate how much money he has, and he would only be obligated to give a lower value, either the full amount of money that he has, or only one seller, according to the argument that we saw earlier on in the Masechta. This concept is known as Hesed Yad, and the Perek begins by telling us that Hesed Yad Banoider, this idea of Hesed Yad, that which one can afford, causing a reduction in the amount that he has to give to the Beis HaMikdash, that depends upon the wealth of the one who made the vow, and it does not depend upon the wealth of the subject of the vow. One is able to make a vow to give the Erech of himself, or the Erech of somebody else. And the Mishnah is coming to tell us that if he makes a vow to give the erech of somebody else, and that other person is wealthy, he can afford the full amount that the Torah prescribes. Nevertheless, since the one who made the vow cannot afford it, he would not need to give the full erech, but rather what he can afford. Because obviously the concept of Hesed Yad depends on the wealth of the person who is paying the money. The Hashonim and the years, meaning when we come to define the age group, to know into which category he fits and how much money he has to pay, that depends, by nidor, on the subject of the erech vow. If somebody who is, let's say, 30 years old, makes a vow to give the erech of a 80-year-old, the amount of money he would give is the erech fixed by the Torah for an 80-year-old, not for a 30-year-old. V'harochin banerach, and the erech values depends upon the one being valued. This is coming to refer to the gender, though once again we look at the subject of the erech vow and not the person who is making the vow. Because again, the gender is coming to tell you which category the subject of the vow fits into and the value which is set for the subject of the vow. The erech and the erech value that he gives are here referring to the age group. The age group depends, b'zman ha'erech, on the time that he made the vow. If he waited a while and he didn't yet pay, and then he grew older until he entered into the next age group, he would give the amount according to which age group he fit into at the time that he made the vow. The rest of the perek is going to elaborate on all of these sort of subtitles which the Mishnah has just given. So the first one was Hesed Yad Banoider. The idea of reducing the amount that he has to give based on that which he can afford depends upon the one who is paying, the one who made the vow. Ketzad, how so? What is the explanation of that? Onish Erech Hesed Osher. If a poor person made an Erech vow to give the Erech of a wealthy person, meaning somebody, when we say wealthy, that just means he's able to afford the full amount prescribed by the Torah. Since the one who made the vow can't afford it, Nosin Erech Oni, he would give the value that a poor person needs to give, meaning that which he can afford. V'oshish Erech Hesed Oni. Whereas a wealthy person who can afford the amount set by the Torah, who said that he's going to give the Erech of a particular person, and that particular person happens to be someone who can't afford the full amount. Says the Mishnah, Nosin Erech Osher, he needs to give the full Erech that a wealthy person has to give. Since this whole concept of Hesed Yad, giving a smaller amount than that which the Torah set, is only if you yourself cannot afford it, the one paying. It hasn't got anything to do with the subject of the vow, the person whose Erech is being paid. Mishnah Basis is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, where we learned that if a poor person makes a vow to give the erech of a wealthy person, then he only needs to give that which a poor person needs to give, that which he can afford. And if a wealthy person says he's going to give the erech of a poor person, he has to give the full amount that a wealthy person generally has to give. On the other hand, avol b'korbanos, but when it comes to bringing a sacrifice, a korban on behalf of somebody else, einochein, this is not the case. There are certain korbanos, and the example which the Mishnah will discuss is the korban of a metzora, somebody who had certain spots on his body called tzara'as, And as a result, he was Tomei, and he was impure, and at the end of that period of him being Tomei, impure, he needs to bring certain korbonos, 3 korbonos, in fact. And 2 out of 3 of the korbonos, the type of sacrifice that he brings, the type of korban depends on his wealth. Somebody who is able to afford it is obligated to bring 2 lambs, a male and a female one, and one who is not able to afford it only needs to bring 2 birds, which are cheaper. Now what happens if somebody says, Harisha Omar, if somebody says, he declares, Korbon shel metzora zeh olai, I'm accepting upon myself to bring the korban of so-and-so, who is a metzora, on his behalf. The Mishnah says, Imhoi metzora oni, if the metzora, the subject of this person's declaration, not the one who is bringing the korban, but the one who was supposed to bring the korban, if the metzora was poor, such that if he were to bring the korban, he would bring 2 birds, then maybe korban oni, the person who said he's going to bring it instead of him, also only needs to bring a korban of a poor person, 2 birds. However, Osher, if the metzora who was supposed to bring the korbanos was a wealthy person, and therefore he would bring 2 lambs, maybe korban osher, then the one who declared to bring the korbanos instead of him would also need to bring the korban of a wealthy person, meaning 2 lambs. Now the truth is, this is not so simple. The Gemara learns from Psukim that only if both the metzora and the person who made the vow to bring the korbanos instead of the metzora, only if they are both poor would he bring 2 birds. But if the person, if the metzora is poor, let's say, and the one who declared that he's going to bring the korbanos is wealthy, then we define which type of korban he needs to bring, not based on the subject of the vow, but rather based on the one who is bringing the korbanos, the one who is paying. Which means that in this regard, it's exactly the same as for erchin. That we look at the person who is bringing the erech, the one who's paying it, in order to define the amount that he has to give. So when the Mishnah said that when it comes to korbanos, it's different to erchin, that's only in the second half. When it comes to a metzora who is wealthy, over there, regardless of whether the person who declared he's going to bring the korbanos is wealthy or poor, he's always going to have to bring the korbanos of a wealthy person. So specifically in that case, again, in a case where the one who is paying, the one who is going to bring the korban or the erech, if he is poor and the subject of the erech or the metzora is wealthy, that is where the difference comes into play. In the case of erechin, he would have to give only the erech of a poor person, what he can afford. We look at the one who is paying, whereas when it comes to the korbanos of the metzora, he would have to bring the animals that a wealthy person has to bring, because we look at the subject of the declaration of the vow, and not at the status of the one who is bringing it. Rebbe says, and we are going to understand that Rebbe's not arguing, but he's rather coming to add on to the previous opinion. Imrani, I say that af ba'arachin kein, even when it comes to the laws of erchin, of giving the erech of a person, donating that fixed value to the Beis HaMikdash, the same applies. There's no intrinsic difference between the case of korbanos and erchin. Rather, we're talking about different circumstances, because why is it that if a poor person declares that he's going to give the erech of somebody who happens to be wealthy, the law is that he only has to give the erech that a poor person has to give, that which he can afford? Quite simply because she'ein he'osher chayiv klum. The wealthy person wasn't obligated to give any money. The poor person is not coming to take over the obligation that the wealthy person had. The wealthy person is just the subject of his vow. We don't care how much the wealthy person can afford. He was never at any stage going to pay anything. He's solely a means of defining the value, the amount that the poor person is donating to the Beis HaMikdash. This is unlike the case of korbanos, where the metzora is obligated to bring korbanos, and somebody is coming to take over his obligation. So that's why we say that if the metzora himself is obligated to bring 2 more expensive animals, that you're not able to come and take over his obligation and give something less than that. And you know what? If we would have a similar case in erchin, we would say the same thing. As the Mishnah illustrates, Aval he'osher she'omar erchi olai, but if a wealthy person said that I am declaring that I'm going to give my own erech to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the wealthy person now owes the full amount that the Torah sets, because he is able to afford that full amount. Veshomer ha'oni, and a poor person who's not able to afford the full amount, his, and he says, Masha omar zeh olai, that which this person said, and accepted upon himself to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm accepting that upon myself. In this case, he's talking about an obligation which already exists. So we look at that amount of money that already exists, that the wealthy person has to pay, and that is exactly what the poor person accepted upon himself. And therefore, Nosen Erech Osher, the poor person will be obligated to give the full Erech of a wealthy person, because that is exactly what he accepted upon himself to give. There are those who explain that actually Rebbe argues on the previous opinion. According to the previous opinion, this is not a good comparison, because in the case of the Karbonais, he is taking over the obligation of the Metzora to bring the Karbonais. He's bringing them instead of him, so there he really does have to do that which is already incumbent upon the Metzora. But in this case, where the poor person is not taking over the obligation of the wealthy person. So here, perhaps we're not going to look at the amount that the wealthy person had to pay. But again, like we mentioned, many learned that actually there's no argument over here, and the Tanakhama, the first opinion, agrees with Rebbe. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'oni, if somebody was poor when he made the vow, and to give the Erech of a particular person, let's say for the sake of simplicity, he said he's going to give his own Erech. And at that point, he was not able to afford the full amount that the Torah prescribes. But he didn't yet pay, and meanwhile, the Hesher, he became more wealthy, and now he is able to afford the full amount that the Torah sets. Osher, or if he was wealthy at the time that he made the vow, the Heni, but meanwhile he has become poor, and now he is not able to afford the full amount that he declared he's going to give. Says the Mishnah, in both of these cases, Nosen Erech Osher, he is obligated to give the full Erech that a wealthy person has to give, which is the full amount that the Torah sets. Because it's learned from Pesukim that one needs to be poor both at the time that he made the vow and at the time of paying in order to apply the law of Hesed Yad that he would only need to pay a reduced amount. Rabbi Yehuda says, he takes this a step further, Afilu Oni Vehesher, even if he was poor at the time that he made the vow and then he became more wealthy, and then V'chos V'heni, he became poor again. So both at the time of the vow and at the time of the payment, he's going to be a poor man who cannot afford the full amount. Nevertheless, Nosen Erech Osher, he is obligated to give the full amount that a wealthy person has to give, because the law of Hesed Yad, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only applies if he was poor and he could not afford it from the beginning when he made the vow all the way until he pays. But if at any point he was able to afford it, that already puts him into the category of having to pay the full amount which is prescribed by the Torah. Mishnah Gimel, this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, that although we learn from Pesukim that regarding the concept of Hesed Yad, that a poor man who is not able to afford the full amount fixed by the Torah for the Erech of a particular person, he's able to give a reduced amount, but he can only give that reduced amount if he was a poor person and he couldn't afford it both at the time of the vow and at the time that he's bringing the Karbanos. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the entire time from when he made the vow all the way until he brings the Karbonais, he couldn't have even been wealthy in the middle. Either way, regarding Erechin, we take into account both the time of the vow and the time of bringing the actual payment. The Mishnah says, however, about Karbonais Enochein, when it comes to sacrifices, this is not the case. There are certain Karbonais, certain sacrifices, where the type of animal which he needs to bring depends on his wealth. For example, the Karbonais of a Metzora. And we are going to understand that regarding Karbonos, it all depends on the time that he became obligated. And the Mishnah says, even if at the time he was obligated, afilu aviv meis v'hiniach l'ribay, even if his father was about to die, he was on his deathbed, and he was going to leave him 10,000 zuz, a very large amount of money, and once he became obligated in the Korban, his father died, and he inherited all of this money, and he hasn't yet bought the Korban. Even in that case, he would only be obligated to bring a korban according to that which he could afford at the time that he became obligated. Or another example, Sfinose Bayom, if his boat was in the sea, Uvobir Boyais, and it was going to bring him tens of thousands of zuzin. Now, if he owns that which is on the boat, then that means he's already a wealthy man now, even if he can't reach it right now. But the Gemara explains that we're talking about a boat which he has rented out to somebody else, and the amount of money which the person who rented it is going to pay him is tens of thousands of zuz. However, halachically speaking, the person who rented it is only obligated to give him that money at the end of the rental period, which means that right now he doesn't yet own any of that money. So even though it's guaranteed to come, since he does not yet own it, at the time that he became obligated to bring the korban, and at that time he could only afford a poor man's korban, ein lahekdesh bo ein klum, the Hekdesh, the Beis HaMikdash, does not have any rights to a more expensive korban based on that which he received later on, because we define the type of animal that he has to bring only based on the time that he became obligated to bring the korban. Mishnah Dalet. In the first Mishnah of the Perek, the Mishnah taught that Shonim Banidor, when defining which age grouping to see how much money he has to give as the Erech, it depends on the subject of his vow. Ketzad, what exactly does that mean? Yelet Sheherech is Hazokain. If a child makes a vow to give the Erech of an old person, says the Mishnah, we look at the age group of the subject of his vow. Notes an Erech Hazokain, he has to give the Erech which is fixed by the Torah for an old person, because he vowed to give the Erech of an old person. Vezokin Sheherech is Hayoled. And likewise, if an old person makes a vow to give the Erech of a young person, notes an Erech Yeled, he would have to give the Erech which is set by the Torah for the age group of a younger person. Alright, the first Mishnah also taught that Va'arochim Banerach, the type of Erech that he has to give depends on the subject of the Erech, and over here we're referring to the gender. Kate said, what does this mean? Isha Erech Esau Isha, if a man makes a vow to give the Erech of a particular woman, notes an Erech Isha, he gives the Erech, which is fixed by the Torah, for women, the Isha Sheherich Esau Ish. And likewise, a woman who made a vow to give the Erech of a particular man, Nesenes Erech Ish, she needs to give the Erech which is fixed by the Torah for men. Alright, and the third thing which the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek mentioned was that the Erech Bizman HaErech, the Erech amount that he has to give in a case where his age group changed in between when he made the vow and when he actually paid up, the law is that Bizman HaErech, he has to pay the amount defined by the time that he made the vow, and not by the time that he made the payment. Kate said, what does this mean? If somebody, Ha'ericha, he made an Erech vow to give the Erech of somebody who was Poch Ben Chomesh under the age of 5 years old. Anybody below the age of 5 years old is in one category, and then between 5 and 20 years old is already the next category. Be as it may, meanwhile, Benasi Yisrael Ben Chomesh, the subject of the Erech vow, now became more than 5 years old. Or Pochzim Ben Esrim, at the time of the vow, he was under the age of 20, Benasi Yisrael Ben Esrim, and then he later on became older than 20 years old, so he went into the next category. The next age group is for those who are between the age of 20 and 60. They sing Kizman HaErech. In all these cases, he needs to give according to the amount defined by his age at the time of the vow. Now, the youngest category is somebody who is between the age of a month and 5 years old. If he's younger than a month old, then he has no Erech. And the Mishnah says, Yom Shloshim, the 30th day itself, Kilamata Memenu, has the same status as the days beforehand, such that his Erech would be nothing on the 30th day as well. Only from the 31st day of the person's life does he gain an Erech of that first age group. Similarly, Shnas Chomesh and Shnas Esrim, the 5th year and the 20th year, which are the beginning of the various their respective age groups, that year itself, as long as the person is 5 years old or 20 years old, Kilamata Memeno, they have the same status as what they have been until now. Only right at the end, once he has completed 5 years or 20 years, would he then go into the next age group. Shneim, as the Pasuk says, V'im ben shishim shona v'malo im zochar. If the person is from 60 years and upwards, then if he is a male, he's got this Erech, whatever it may be. Hayon ul-meidim b'chulo mishnas shishim. So we learn all of the others from the category of 60 years old and upwards. Mashnas shishim kilamata memeno. Just like regarding the person who becomes 60 years old and enters into the new category. When he is 60 itself, that follows what he has been until now, because the Pasuk emphasizes that when he is over the age of 60, then his Erech changes. So we learn from there that when he is 60 itself, then he has not yet entered the new age group. Avshnas Chomesh, Avshnas Ezim Kilamata Memeno, so too the same applies to when he becomes 5 or 20. The 5th and 20th year themselves would go according to what they have been until now. Now the Mishnah questions this comparison. Hein, is that the case? Can we learn those from the one who is 60 years old? If the Torah said that somebody who is 60 years old continues having the Erech of his previous group for as long as he is 60 years old, that is to be stringent upon him, because the Erech of a 20 to 60 year old is more than the Erech of somebody who is over the age of 60. Can we learn from there that also Nasib Shnas Chomesh or Shnas Esim Kilamata Menel HaKel, somebody who is 5 or 20, during that year itself, we should also say that they continue having the same status they haven't had until now. This would be a leniency in this case, because until the age of 60, as you get older, the Eirech increases. So by saying that the person follows the status he's had until now, is essentially saying that he would have to pay a lower amount. So you can't necessarily learn that from the case of a 60-year-old. The Mishnah answers, you're right, but Talmud Loimar Shona Shona Ligzer Shava. The Pasuk says the word Shona in both of the Psukim. It has the same word, which means a year, both when talking about a 60-year-old and when talking about a 5 or 20-year-old. And so we learn Ligzer Shava. Ligzer Shava is when you have two similar words in two different Psukim, which are not necessarily related to each other. But because of the similar or same words, we can learn certain laws from one pasuk to the other. And therefore, Mashon or Hamurabish Nashishim Klimatan Menor, just like the year, which is stated regarding a 60-year-old, it goes according to what he has been until now. So to Afshon or Hamurabish Nashomish Nashesim Klimatan Menor, the year, which is stated regarding a 5-year-old and a 20-year-old, during that 5th and 20th year themselves, we would go according to what they have been until now. And now it can be whether to be lenient or to be strict, whether it will lead to a consequence of paying more or less, because we have this Gezeira Shava, which teaches laws from one posuk to the other. Now the Perek ends off with a new opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says he learns from Psukim a unique law that regarding all of the ages which the Torah gives, you only enter into that category as you Yuseiros al Hasholim Chodesh Yom Echad. Once you are that age, plus a month and a day old. So only once you are 5 and a month and a day would you have the Eirech of somebody who is between the age of 5 and 20. And this law Rabbi Loza learns from Psukim.